Succession number 11484, reel 4.
Ivor Duxbury, reel 4. Reel 4. And you were saying you had good hospitality.
We had good hospitality there, and there was a very good cooperation between us all. When they used to come back in the morning, the chaps would be coming, and women as well, to come back with us, be released. It just be really nice, you know, they'd be singing on the boat and all the rest of it. And but going, it was terrible, you know. They had the youngsters cling on to you. Do they beat you then, all up? And they've been told that they'd be get beat it. No, I said they don't get beat it.
And yes, were they very anxious?
Oh, yes, they were very concerned, but they couldn't understand we'd been breaking up their family homes. One family was broken up, and the father and mother were broken somewhere else, and the children were somewhere else. It was very, very sad, you know. And what could you do about it? Nothing. You was just a soldier trying to do your job. And it was very hard and hard on them at all. But it was, of course, it was like that. It was like that all over the place. See, what really happened was this, that by the Italians come into the war, they caught this country unguarded. They thought that that Italy would never have come into the war, that Italy would have taken the opportunity of making a lot of money by making arms for us and supplying us with food in the Mediterranean. This is what they thought. They didn't think that Italy would declare war. They think she'd be very friendly with Germany, but at the same time supplying us with stuff that we wanted, and keeping Spain out of the war. See, this is what it was. But it so happened that he got greedy. In fact, I've got photographs of the only photographs ever taken of Mussolini being executed in my possession. So if ever you want them, you can have them to have a look at them. And what was on the Isle of Man was this, that when they were sent to the Isle of Man, there was a connection with the Black Book, because their fathers and mothers had either contributed into the fascist fund, the Grand Fascist Group. They had a big organisation. You know, they had challenged partly to blame themselves. They had this big organisation, the Grand Duchy organisation in this country, supporting money to the Italian fascist party, you see. And Oswald Mosley was closely connected with these people, see. So what they done, they made sure that they called the lot. This is why the book called the lot was given, see. But having said all that, what I couldn't understand was this, that the Italians were in the war with this 1914 war. That Italians were in this country in hundreds, in thousands. They loved the hospitality, there was that, and then they would do a thing like this, but it didn't happen that way at all. It happened that they were caught unawares too, because a lot of them called the Duce everything, see. They blame him now for it, see. But I don't know, it's past history, I know, but I only hope it never happens again, because it would be a scandal, it would be a scandal. But I think the people in the Isle of Man, this wasn't so bad for them. I think they got on better than anywhere else, because their organisation was terrific. They had some wonderful people there, people of calibre that had been barristers, and some of them have been doctors, and some have been professors of education. And they had some wonderful things that done there in the Isle of Man. In fact, some of them said they should stay there for the war. This is like holiday camp from.
I think the women and the men were separated.
Yes.
Were they allowed to meet, do you know?
I couldn't say that, because I didn't spend enough time there, but I do think there was a little meetings. There was a lot of babies born there, so they couldn't come from the stalks, could they? I think there were a lot of meetings born there. A lot of marriages went from there afterwards. I do know that. Now, who was the lady in charge of the... I did meet her a couple of years. She's a very, very old civil servant. She's quite good.
Ellen... I was thinking of the MP.
Ellen Wilson?
Yes.
I knew her very well.
Yes, she had quite a lot to say about it, didn't she?
Yeah.
I was wondering, you know, it's interesting you saying about the Italians and their sort of the Black Book.
Yeah.
And their sort of support of fascism.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mosley, for instance, you were saying how you knew him when he was a member of the Labour Party. And, I mean, you're an old timer, aren't you? You've been, I would imagine, on the political front, you've been interested for a long time.
Oh, yes.
Do you think it's very complex, this issue of fascism and Britain? you know, and the groups like the Italians in supporting someone like Mussolini, and someone like Mosley, who had socialist programmes, do you think it's sort of... there are complications to it which perhaps are not always appreciated by people.
See,
and the good sides to it, one is... it's not fashionable to say.
See, what people don't realise is this. When they talk about Oswald and Mosley... Now, Oswald Mosley was no idiot, you know. He was a very brainy man. Now, when he was... The reason why Oswald Mosley broke off the party was the fact that they forgot for promotion, and he decided to open the black shirts. Now, what Oswald Mosley did was this. He got all his men from the slums, from the doss houses. He went recruiting all his men from the doss houses. Big, able-bodied men, sleeping rough. When I was sleeping rough in London, he come round, I was asked to join it, I wouldn't join it. And he got all big, strong men. Give him a shirt, breeches, trousers, give him grub, a couple of bob cigarettes, marching demonstrations, all down the Milan Road, beating up the Jews. Anything to beat up the Jews caused trouble. Now, they were funded by the Italians. The Italians to contribute to them, see? And this was the trouble. They were getting money from the fascist organisations. The Daily Mail was supporting them. The Daily Mail came out and supported them. And Oswald Mosley wasn't a poor man. He was a multi-millionaire. He owned a big printing organisation. When I met him out in Ireland, on his farm in Ireland, talking about the old days, I said he was a bloody fool really well. He said, you might say so, but he said, I nearly achieved what I wanted to achieve. He did, because Hitler said that he'd only negotiate with Oswald Mosley, see? And I knew his first wife, Lady Sinclair. She came down and spoke in command in affairs, in the Labour Party. I chaired a meeting for Oswald Mosley at Cardiff once. Then he joined the Black Church. He came down to Wales, the worst thing he ever done. He came to Swansea, booked up the Plaza Cinema in Swansea. The house was packed, and he never came to Wales again. They nearly killed him there. They took pepper in there and threw pepper over him. See, what his guard used to do with these tough boys to carry pepper in their pockets. And if you got rough, got nasty in a meeting, they'd throw the pepper in your eyes. And while you're running away, they'd beat you. Oh, yes, there were some tough things. He never came to Wales again. They kicked him out of it. But when he was interned, there was an outcry in this country. It was an outcry. He was put into Brixton Prison. They knocked the wall down in his cell, and his wife was there, and got RSC girls awaiting him. That was stopped. There was not only him interned, there was Admiral of the Fleet interned, there was Colonel Edmonds, the Welsh Admiral, he was interned, there was that MP, Pebbles. He was the MP for Pebbles. Now, what was his name now? Because I remember when he was tried, Mulvin Hughes, a member from Carmarthen, defended him. I did follow this up very well. I was very interested. But they were into, after when they were released, they came back. And the people that were British people that were interned, Winifred Medford, that was Oswald Mosley's Lord Rutherford's daughter. Did you know that they got her a special train from Germany to run into France a day before the war to get her out of the country? Hitler put a special train on her to get her from. They were close, and now the truth's come out about the Prince of Wales. He was obnobbing with Hitler as well on the back door with the Elkley Trust these days. So it's all there. And the people that were in the fascist party, they were not Diver Duxbury's. They weren't the working class. They were the money people. I've no mistake about that. The Black Book was the Black Book.
Do you know anything about the Littoria Club?
That was the fascist club. Littoria Club.
That is the one, is it?
Yes, yes. Oh, yes. I'm meeting somebody on Sunday who was in Littoria Club. Funded. There was a lot of Italians in this country, you know. They had all the catering jobs. A lot of them in wine, but most of them in catering, ice cream shops, everything.
So when you know, in the light of all these very interesting things you've been telling me, and looking at the context of the time, you know, the extreme situation in 1940, Do you think there was any justification for the policy of internment on the part of the British government?
Yes, there was. Yes, there was definitely. There was definitely. There was. Don't forget this: that there was Welshmen interned too. You know. Oh yes, there was Welsh people interned too. Welsh nationals interned. You had the case of. I can't remember the name, but I tried to. There was Saunders, Heavens, and another chap that set fire to the airdroom at Pathelly in North Wales. And they were given 9 months imprisonment. The Democratic English, wouldn't even get tried in their own town because they knew that they'd be found not guilty. So they got them tried in London, the Old Bailey, and they got 9 months each. And the laughable part about this, they were interned in the war, but they had to get them out because it was Saunders Lewis that broke the German code. They had been intelligence. They'd done a fantastic job in the war. They broke the code. They broke the German code. There was a lot of Welsh people interned. There were a lot of Irish people interned. A lot of Scotch people interned that were wanted nationality. Were dangerous people, as I said they were. And a lot of Welsh people were conscious objectors. They wouldn't fight for England, see? And there it is. But a lot of them did fight. The Battle of Caen, will tell you that. They lost a tremendous lot of boys in the Battle of Caen. But internment, there had to be an internment. But when I go back in it, and I read quite a lot, we didn't expect the internment to be on the scale it was. We expected to be people like German refugees that came here from Nazi oppression that had come here and they were rounding them up to make sure they didn't cause any trouble. A few thousand. I didn't think there'd be 25,000 and 30,000 people. Families. If they're over a certain, at the end, it's over a certain age, they didn't bother. But under that, they came into and they came for these internees, not in the daytime, no, at 12 o'clock at night time. Just imagine what those people went through. A family living in a little flat like this, say. And at 12 o'clock, bang, bang at your door. Police there, come on, we want you. No argument, and take you away like animals. That's what happened. I've no mistake. Did you see that video called Charlie Rossi? The video? Did you see it? Did you see me on that? See?
Yes. Do you think... that you knew some of these people from Carmarthen?
Yeah, from Wales. Yeah.
Had they been living there for a long time?
Oh, yes, as long as I... There was people who had been living there. I went to school with Gaetano Fraser and Rabiotti and Conti. And they were in the army with me, in the same regiment. See? And they were guarding their father. Gaetano Fraser guarded his father. There was a Conti guarding his son. It was ridiculous, really. It was ridiculous. And how could he be there? How could he go and sit down having a meal with a boy who was guarding his own father in the same camp? It's laughable. You just imagine how we felt. And could we allow that boy to be sad? So we should to help him as best we could. The food was quite good in the camps. You know, there wasn't any shortage of food. It was really sad. It was really sad, you know. Now, I go down to Cardiff and I say, it makes me very embarrassed. See, I feel like I'm a cup of tea and a rock cake, so I got. And I go into a cafe and I go in there and a chap turns around, he knows me. Jesus Christ, I ever come here. Tears down his face, you know. This is why when I go to London, I won't go to these Italian places, because I go into one day, because they know as well I like this Italian mortadella. You know what mortadella is? It's like a black pudding, or mortadella. And they go in there, and I see them, they're up to something, they sit down, they come over with big sandwiches, they say, well, mortadella sandwiches, whatever. And they won't take no money off me.
Well, were you an exception, or were there other people like you, other guards like you, do you think? If you're honest about this, if you know...
Yeah, I'm not going to blow my own trumpet, no. There were all the Welsh boys the same attitude as me. We were all the same. We were all the same, and all the... some of them didn't know Italian because they were out in the wild. They couldn't speak English properly. What can I say? Like this, son. It was just exactly what I'm going to tell you now. How could you honestly be cruel or harsh to somebody that you'd slept in the same room and gone to his house to have tea or had ice cream in his shop? How could you be hard to this people? You couldn't, could you? In fact, I was quite prepared to die for my cause. If they'd shot me, I wouldn't care a damn. I wasn't going to betray myself to anybody. In my opinion, they should never have been there. That's my opinion. Because it had been proved afterwards that they'd done a great effort for this war when they went and dropped. You just imagine a man, after going through the Dunrea boat thing, come back in this country and drop behind the enemy lines. Take some guts. Take some guts. Have no mistake about that. Freud, his father, he was interned. Did he know that? MP for the Ely Isle, his father interned. Had him out of internment. Dropped him behind the enemy lines. Done a brilliant job in Austria. Brilliant job. Nothing said about it. It's all wrong.
Now, I think you've got to write that book, Mr. Duxbury. There's no doubt about it. And thank you very much for telling me about your experiences with internment. I've got a feeling I should ask you about the Spanish Civil War as well. You probably had a very interesting experience in that.
But I didn't do any fighting in Spain. I was running the arms in. I was on a boat called the Mary Llewellyn.
Yes. What was that? Was that what organisation were you?
I was out of work and I wanted to volunteer to go to Spain, but the government closed the frontier, so we went to Swansea. And we went and got on the boat, the Mary Llewellyn.
How did you know about the boat?
Oh, it's common knowledge that Jones, particularly Jones, had taken him for men. He couldn't keep any crew. He was such a wicked bugger. So he was two wicked buggers together, see me and him. The wife will agree to that. So anyhow, I got on the boat. I was with him, running to Bill Bowell, all over the place with him. He thought the world of me.
Where did the arms come from?
Well, now, I was hoping you were going to ask me that, but I'll tell you. We'd load up in Swansea with they used to bring stuff down from Oxford, ambulances out, made out of Larry Davidson motorbikes. And we put them on there and put potatoes on top of them. And then when we got in the channel, we used to have ladies come out in their boats, give us machine guns. Put them on. Take him in for the Spanish government. And then coming back was to bring the children back, refugees, for Lord Farrington. He's a chap up here who was one of the people there getting the children in from one of the organisations. Pittman, Cyril Pittman. And we used to bring him back into what do you call it. But I went on it for quite a number till the war started.
The other side, when you reached, what was it, Bilbao?
Yeah, Bilbao and Barcelona.
Yes, did you meet the Republicans yourself?
Oh, yes, I met, what's her name, Maria Passinaro, the great lady there, Prime Minister Nerira. We met them all there. Go to a reunion now next, on the 7th do you want to come up there? I'll get you an invitation, won't you? Would you come? Honestly?
With the International Brigade today?
Yeah, well, I'm quite with them now. I wasn't up in the front line fighting with them, but we used to fetch the arms and food in for them, and we were different to them because if we'd been caught, we'd been shot on the spot. And the thing was that they had a chance to get away, we didn't. But Bill Alexander always invites me now because he gets good donations from my union for me.
Who was behind who was financing this operation of getting the arms and the money? And are trade you able to say?
Trade unions, Communist Party. I was never a communist. I hated them. I hated the communists as much as I hate the conservatives. And I hope I'm not offending you. So the thing is this, that that's a shame British government didn't lift the embargo, because that was the starting of the World War II in Spain. That's where they tested out all their planes. I've no mistake about that, because people don't know this, that they even sunk a boat outside Yarmouth in the Spanish Civil War, in British waters.
Which boat was that?
I can't remember the name, but I could give you the name for look for the book. I could lend you the book about the Spanish Civil War if you'd like to have it. It's called the Welsh Blockade Runners. If you'd like to have it, anybody lend it to you, you can read it if you like. Quite interesting.
Was there a lot of that blockade running going
on? Oh, yes.
From Wales?
From Wales, yes. Wales were foremost in the front. There was a lot of Welsh boys lost their lives in Spain for the Spanish Civil War against fascism. Of course, they were all members of the party, Communist Party. Ivor Duxbury wasn't there.
And these refugees you were bringing back?
The boys, for young children.
Yes, well, was that a special scheme?
Yes, it was. We fetched them back a lot through Wales. They went in a big camp in Breckford, hundreds of them. And Lord Farringdon took a lot too.
And they went back to Spain afterwards, or did
no,
they
a lot
settle
of stayed,
there?
A lot of them stayed in Wales. You must come and talk to me about the labour camps one day.
The labour camps in Wales?
In Britain. They had labour camps there in the war, before the war, you know. There's a book, get all of it. It's written by Nalgo. It's called Labour Camps. I'll read it. It's an education for you.
When you sort of speak of these, it sounds rather like the Soviet labour camps.
Yes, it was. It was a camp where if you were on the dole for so long, they had you up in front there and said, look, you've been on the dole too long, you went on the means test, you've got to get a job. And if you were a single man, you were sent to a labour camp. So they sent me to a labour camp. I went to a place called Breckford and a Trailog. And they give you a pair of boots, hobnail boots, and a pair of corduroy trousers, and a shirt and a cap, two blankets to lay on the floor, no mattress. And then they learnt you how to do landscape work and bridge and all that. And then after a month, they get you up on the recessive, see? And then after the recessive, they send you to another camp. So I was lucky, I was recessed, and I went to Cal Shorten. And I went up there, and the laughable part about this in Cal Shorten, they weighed you. And if you weighed all a certain weight, you went in the heavy gang. If you weighed a certain weight, in the medium gang. And light gang, see? Well, in those days, you might not believe it, I was very light. I was very, very light. I was a great athlete in those days, a great athlete. I was a rugby player, playing for a good club. And but I was lucky. I was there for about a month, and this foreman came on to me and said, you shouldn't be here. He said, there's plenty of work for you outside. He said, you know this landscaping work off by heart. Well, I don't know it off by heart. And I was lucky I got a job with the landscape people, and there it was. I was all right.
Was that a good scheme, the labour camp scheme?
I think it was. It was a good camp. It kept you fit. Could a man been out of work for 4 years, his muscles all gone. I didn't find nothing wrong. Of course, the Communist Party would say different. They had mutinies there too. They had the red flag going up. See? I hated them. Oh, dear, Reds. I could be very careful on when I go up in the 7th not to upset the Communists.
Yes, I wonder how you get on the 7th with a lot of the International Brigade. But did you respect the job they did in Spain?
Oh, yes, I think we lost a lot of lives there, you know. I lost a cousin there. There was a lot of men, a lot of women there, a lot of coloured people went out there too and died, you know. I think myself that a person is, if he's got that way inclined, he will, nothing will stop him. I believe myself that if I went back on my lifetime and to have it, to think about it, I would say that I didn't waste my life. I didn't waste it at all. I might have been a troublemaker in a lot of instances, but I still live in. My grandson asked me once, he's quite a big lad now, said to me, granddaddy, said to me, what's the greatest thing that ever happened to you in your lifetime? So I paused and thought, the greatest thing that ever happened to me, and you'll see my point of view on this one, when I was appointed to the National Committee of the Transport and General Workers Union, now that to me was a great achievement, because Cockneys don't put idiots on national committees. You've got to be a good person. I like to draw my wife's attention to this. I keep on telling her, I might be a bad bugger as far as you are concerned, but a lot of people think I'm a good bugger too, because they wouldn't put me the chairman of the Pensioners Forum here. I'm a chairman of the Labour Party of this ward. I could have been on the council umpteen times, safe seat. I never did. Because I too much jiggery-pokery in politics for my liking.
How does your experience on the Arundora Star relate to these things? Was that important in your life?
It was very important to me. I've always looked for the rights of the underdog. I've always believed that a person should be treated as a human being. But I can tell you one thing. I'm a member of Amnesty International. I joined it. I was nominated from the Labour Party on that and from the trade union side, and I've been a member of it for a lot of years. I think that all the things that I've been associated in my lifetime since the war are associated with the Arundora Star, because what my experience of the Arundora Star has taught me that people are human beings and should be treated as human beings. And I still say to this day that there should be an inquiry set up to see why this ship was sent out and why these people were interned. As far as I'm concerned, they couldn't do any harm at all. They were quite harmless people.
Well, Ivor Duxbury, thank you very much indeed for telling me so many of your experiences with the internees and on the Arundora Star and with the Spanish Civil War too. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.